And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. There is power in the prophetic word of God. One third of the entire Bible is made up of prophecies. And of course, the Old Testament has over 300 prophecies pointing to the coming of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. So if we believe the Bible, which in the New Testament we are told we will find a sure word of prophecy, we'll know much of what is going to occur in the last days. You know, Daniel 12 verse 10 is one of my very favorite verses. It says there that in the last days, men will do wicked things, but none of the wicked will understand what's going on around them. Think of that. Oh, so many people with PhDs and DDs and all kind of letters after their names. Well, you know, I've taught at three universities myself, but on the faculty of the University of Texas at Austin and other schools. And I've in those universities where I've taught, I've known hundreds of professors and researchers. And I haven't really known a lot of wise men among them. But the Bible says the wise shall understand the events of the last days. And I believe that's because the wise will read God's Bible, His Word, and it will, let's just say, to use the vernacular English, it'll clue them in on what's going on today. Well, you know, we've been here about a quarter of a century at Power of Prophecy, and we've been talking about many of these prophecies, and I've made a number of predictions on my own. And, of course, you know there is a difference between a prediction by a man, and after all, I'm just a man, a weak, fallible man at that. I make predictions, but if I tell you it's a prophecy, that's a different thing. That's from God. All right? So, you know, a lot of things I say, people say, well, is that a prophecy? Well, no, it's just based on my knowledge, my research, my investigation. But I am a pretty good detective. Let me just tell you, God has given me a talent in that direction. And my talent is magnified way beyond my meager skills by you folks. You see, I have the biggest detective agency in the whole world. I do. I have more agents working on my behalf than anyone. Because I have you. And I could never do the research that I do without your help. I mean, it's amazing. Sometimes I'll need a little bit of a nugget of information. You know, you've seen like the kids put these puzzles together, but they're missing a couple little chinks, just a couple little pieces. And if I could just get those little pieces, it would all come together. And then you see the grand picture. And just as I'm scratching my head trying to figure out what those final pieces are, I'll get a letter, a package in the mail. Dear Tex, here's something from my local newspaper. Here's something that I just discovered. Hey, here's what just happened to me at work. Hey, I have a friend who works in the FBI, and he told me A, B, C, D. And it's exactly the information that I needed. And I get it very hastily, and I put it together in the puzzle, and wow, the big picture comes forth. Bursting forth sometime with energy. And I say, you know, the old word, I don't really use it, but I guess I could. Eureka. I usually just say, wow. You know, W-O-W. Wow. Look at this. Look what we've discovered here. You see, I have friends. You're my friend. You're part of the family of Power of Prophecy. And I have folks working at Boeing Aircraft, Lockheed Martin, the Defense Department. I've got letters from the Treasury, a good friend who worked of the ministry who worked at the Treasury Department. Just thought you'd like to know what kind of currency we're working on. We've got the Bureau of Engraving and they're planning a new currency for America. Thought you'd like to be one of the first to see it, Tex. Oh my. I get letters from Romania say, you know, our government just did this or that. Did you know our prime minister met privately with Henry Kissinger? And as I understand it, this happened. You know, that could be from Romania or Hungary or Russia. I've gotten letters from secretaries. One was a secretary to Vladimir Putin. You know, when you're a secretary, don't ever discount secretaries. They know things other people don't know. They're the ones that type it all up. A secret deal, a secret arrangement is put in writing. And guess what? There's a little secretary, maybe in our U.S. government, GS5. You say, oh, well, they're really low. They don't know anything. Oh, yeah? I remember recently reading about Sybil Edmonds. She was given a job as a translator. And she was, you know, listening in on tape recordings by our Central Intelligence Agency of calls coming back and forth from the nation of Turkey. And she was able to discover by transcribing these phone calls. See, she knew the Turkic language. And she was able to transcribe these phone calls. And there was all kind of bribes of American politicians going on behind the scenes and things. She wasn't a big diplomat. She didn't have prime minister behind her or in front of her name. But she knew what was going on more than anybody else did practically in the whole State Department. Because she was transcribing their actual, you know, telephone calls. And then she decided to break the seal, you might say, and tell people about what was going on. I've got a lot of that. I remember one day I got a phone call from first an FBI guy and then a CIA guy. And they didn't like what was going on in their, you know, agencies. They wanted me to know. So yes, you say, well, are you cooperating with the CIA and the FBI? Of course I do. If they have some information for me, I don't tell them anything that's going to, you know, get anybody in trouble. But if a guy comes to me and says, I'm with the FBI in Texas, I wanted you to know this or that's going down. I'll listen to him. Now, sometimes people feed me bad information, disinformation. You have to corroborate it. I get some stuff, emails sent to me, and they'll say, Tex, this just happened. And I check a few more sources, and I find out it didn't happen. What they want me to do is to report it, pass on gossip or rumors or outright lies, fake news, and then that will discredit Tex Mars. Oh, I get that all the time. People will say, Tex, check out website such and such. They're telling, you know, about something that's happened. And I'll go there and they'll say some fantastic thing. You know, missiles just landed from Israel and smashed into Syria and blew up the embassy or something of America. But it didn't really happen. So they want me to report fake information and lose credibility. So I have to be very careful. Sometimes I actually get into the ministry, or this is like a clearinghouse of information. And sometimes I get fantastic stories in from people. They'll say, Tex, I work for this company, Microsoft or Intel or whatever, and we're working on this super secret project for the government, and I just wanted you to know about it. I shouldn't be telling you this, but here's the scoop on it. And, you know, it's so incredible what they're telling me. I go, oh, no, that can't be. And I can't report that. That's just so improbable. That's just impossible. I mean, that's so far out. That's incredible. So I keep quiet about it. And about 6 months later, I find out I shouldn't have kept quiet. Suddenly it breaks out and it's in all the newspapers. But I knew it 6 months ago. But I try to be cautious, you see. I try to be careful because I want to be a faithful source of information. I don't want to pass on disinformation. I had a precious brother who wrote to me a few months ago, and he said, Tex, I got out all your old books because I found you to be a reliable source of advance information. He said, really, you're like the old day prophets. Well, you know, that was more credit than I deserve. But he said, I got out your old books, and I made a list of predictions you had made and the ones that have come true. And I was astonished. He said, so far, about 90% of the things you predicted in your books have come true. Well, you know, having written 40 or 50 books as I have, I lose track. Some of them are like booklets. So I don't know if you want to count that as a book or not. Others I've, you know, I guess it goes up to 60 or 70, the books that I've written forewords for and, you know, sections of and all that, contributions to directory or encyclopedia or whatever. Well, anyway, I'm going to cut off this discussion because I want to get into some things. Yes, it is true. There have been many incredible predictions from Tex Mars and Power of Prophecy Ministries over the years. And I really can't remember where I was just dead wrong on anything. Maybe there is something. Now, I want to tell you something. If I say that God told me to tell you something, that's a prophecy. It will come true. I don't know the time always, but it will come true. And there have been a few occasions when I've told you that. And you just watch. But there's some things that I put together with my human knowledge and with your help. And some of them are great mysteries that people have never revealed before. I reveal them here in my monthly newsletters, on my radio shows. And people are astonished at the accuracy of my predictions. And I want to tell you a little bit about those today. Now, why am I doing this? These amazing predictions and revelations that came true. Let's just say you heard it first from Tex Mars, but give credit to God. See, even if God didn't tell me directly some of these things that came to pass that I predicted, even, and again, I'm distinguishing between predictions by a person, even a knowledgeable, trained intelligence agent, which is basically what I am, versus prophecies from God. Mine will not always come true. I cannot give myself credit for that. So, you know, maybe an occasional brickbat will come my way and say, Tex, you said this was going to happen and it didn't. Okay, well, throw a brickbat at me. But that wasn't God that said it. Blame Tex Mars, okay? But for those things, but even then, it's amazing the multitude that do come true. And that's why so many people over the years have really enjoyed and received a blessing and maybe some valuable information in advance from Tex Mars and Power of Prophecy. And they appreciate us. And I know so many of you have written me letters and saying, boy, I got it first from Tex Mars. But I want to just say this, you know, even if you look back at all of my education and training that has allowed me to be basically a global intelligence agent, for you, working for you and God. I don't work for anybody else, just you and God. You, my friends and partners out in radio land and newsletter land, I work for you and God. And if I mess up, you can point fingers at me. And if I mess up with God, I'm in greater jeopardy. You know, because I'm saved. I have Jesus Christ in my heart. I have the Holy Spirit. But I don't want to stand before God and say I was a sloppy researcher. I gave out a lot of bad information, God. I don't want to do that. I want to say, Lord, I was faithful. I worked hard. I investigated. I researched. And I found out information. And I gave out the truth to people. I'd like to say that to God. I don't want to be a slothful servant. But I want to be somebody that I can stand before God and not be ashamed. Do you understand that, folks? That's important to me. It's always been important to me. That's why I don't tell you any lies here. I don't spread disinformation. Even if it were profitable to me, I could make up big stories and sell a lot of tapes and things. I could write, you know, amazing, silly fiction books and people would believe them because, you know, Tex Mars said it. And I could get famous with these incredible predictions that are based not on truth, but on myth. But I'm not going to do that because God. I have respect and honor for God. And that's a big thing to me. God can see through every one of our actions. He knows whether you're doing it for personal glory or for the glory of his kingdom. He knows... I mean, he reads the reins of a man or a woman's heart. And, you know, when I go to bed at night, I sleep good. I get up in the morning, I can smile when I look in the mirror, knowing I'm telling the truth to people. And knowing that my friends appreciate that. Now, those people who are not my friends, who are enemies of this ministry, and there are a few of those, they don't appreciate it much. In fact, they hate for things to come true, the text Morris says. They despise me and what we stand for. Many of them despise God. They're atheists, they're Freemasons, they're occultists, they're witches. And I'm sorry about them. I'm not angry at them. They spread lies and disinformation about me all the time. Well, I feel sorry for them. You see, their lies and disinformation may cause me some discomfort, some sighing, you know, feeling bad a little bit that these lies would come out about me on the internet or whatever. But you know what? My temporary discomfort is nothing compared to their permanent disability when they go to the next world, which is hell. Think about that. This life is, it happens so fast. You know, the Bible says it's like a vapor. I mean, it's a whisper of time. And then you face God. And then that eternity starts ticking off. And I feel sorry for these people who tell these lies. Well, what kind of amazing predictions and revelations over the years have we told you about that came true? And some of them are still in the process right now. And you know, before the hour's over, I might even give you a few more things to think about. some more predictions. I don't know. We'll see what God says about that. But I do want to say this. Everything I have done in my life, and of course, I'm only, as you know, 39 years old. Jerry's over there like, my engineer, he's smiling. Tex, you're lying right now. That's true. Yeah, I'm not 30. So like Jack Benny's 39. Remember, he'd always say he's 39. He was 39 for 50 years or something. I'm quite a bit. I'm Jack Benny style 39. Let me put it that way. No, I'm way more than that. But everything that I am and what I do is of God. So anything that I tell you that I was accurate on these amazing predictions and revelations, I give credit to God. Anything I was wrong on, I take credit for. But God has brought me through, you know, I was in the Air Force, retired as an officer after 20 years. I travel all over the world, to Europe, Asia. I can name all the countries individually, from Vietnam and Thailand to Okinawa and Guam, and I don't know all the places I was sent. Some of them were hell holes and some were sort of paradise. Japan, that wasn't a bad place. Interesting place near Tokyo where I was. The Philippines, of course, and then, of course, throughout many nations, Germany, Great Britain, and so forth. And then even here in the state of Texas, the great state of Texas, I was stationed at places like Reese Air Force Base in Lubbock and Lackland Air Force Base in San Antonio. I was stationed up in over in North Carolina at Pope Air Force Base, right next door to the Green Berets and the paratroopers, the airborne folks. Had a lot of fun with those guys, those officers. A lot of friends of mine were paratroopers or Green Beret. And we compared notes, and boy, do I know some things about those units I won't talk about. So they don't want me to talk about the guys that I knew. They'd probably strangle me if Texas talking about what we did as a Green Beret, but I won't do that. But let's talk about some of these things. You know, I think I was the second Christian patriot to expose the Order of Skull and Bones. Good friend of mine, Anthony Sutton of Stanford University's Hoover Institute, he wrote the first book on the Skull and Bones. And then I began to do some audio tapes and things, exposés, writing about it. He got in touch with him. We became quite good friends. And when he died, he gave me a bunch of his cord systems. He didn't have a computer. He had everything on 3x5 cords. And it was sort of interesting. Names of people and all that. He gave me a lot of that stuff. I was, you might say, the second man. And I told you, I was the first, though, to ever expose in my book Dark Majesty, I actually expose what goes on inside the tomb. You know, and I wrote a little note to Antony, and I said, well, finally, I've done one past you. You know, I've got one better than you, Antony. You know, you were first on Skull and Bones, but I'm the first to reveal what goes on in the inner sanctums. You know, lying in the coffin naked and other hideous events inside what they call the tomb, T-O-M-B, in New Haven, Connecticut. I was also one of the very first to expose what goes on at the Bohemian Grove. And I did a couple of audio tape CDs, one of them still available, called The Wicked Men of the Bohemian Grove. And then my good friend Alex Jones did one better than me. He and Mike Hansen, another pal of mine, they actually snuck into the Bohemian Grove. There's a great video we offer, you know, Dark Secrets of the Bohemian Grove by Alex Jones. And he sort of shows you what he and talks about what he saw in there. The Bohemian Grove, the wicked men of the Bohemian Grove. We offer that video. And by the way, we're now working to publish a book by Mike Hansen about Bohemian Grove. Another thing that I was the first to talk about in my book, Millennium, Peace Promises and the Day They Take Our Money Away. I may not have been the first, but it was one of the first big books, bestseller books, to reveal that they were going to come out with new money. You see, the money had been the same, green. But they started adding, I found out from a good friend of mine who worked at the Bureau of Engraving and Printing in the Treasury that they were going to come out with what they call rainbow money. You know, have little color pieces to it. And I told people about that, and people said, oh, the money hasn't changed for 50 years. We have the same currency. You don't know what you're talking about, Tex. You know, I read your book. It's not true. Well, it was true. I also talked about the fact in Millennium that foreigners were going to be coming in buying up American companies, American lands. And people said, oh, I don't think so. But read the book, Millennium, Peace Promises and the Day They Take Our Money Away. I said the dollar will be slowly demolished, crushed, continue, you know, until finally the dollar is ended and a global currency comes out. You know, that was the book, and that was back in the mid-90s, 1990s that I did the book. People said the dollar is the strongest currency in the world. What are you talking about, Tex? Well, hey, folks, it's no longer the strongest in the world. What I said was true. And we do have new money now that has touches of color to it. Of course, along with the fall of the dollar, we have an economic collapse, which I had predicted to occur in that book. And we know now that some of America's most cherished corporations, icon corporations, are now owned by foreigners, have been bought up. Some of America's greatest wilderness areas and resource areas containing oil reserves and coal reserves have been bought up by foreign nations. One of the things that is very interesting, and I have a little style of writing. I like to ask questions and then answer them. Have you ever noticed that, friends? For example, I had an audio tape and a video about Y2K. Remember Y2K? A lot of people said the world was going to end at the dawning of the 21st century. Well, even the government said the computers will all go kaput. They won't work anymore. And everything will stop. The electric grid will go down. People will not have electricity. And everything, there'll be no TV, no radio, everything. It will be like going back into the dark ages. It'll be like the movie Thunderdome. You know, with Mel Gibson, a lot of people were worried about that. And I did a video on it. I did an audio tape on the subject. What's going to happen, Y2K? Will the world really end? I asked that question. Will the world end at the dawn of the 21st century, Y2K? Now, folks, a lot of people, when they read that, then they come out and say, Tex Moore said the world's going to end. But I didn't say that. I asked the question. Just like right now, I'm going to ask the question. will the world end December 21st, 2012? That was what the Mayan calendar said, right? A lot of people claim. The Mayan, you know, the pagan Indians, you know, as well as the Aztecs and the Incas. But they said the world was going to end. The calendar ends. The last date is December 21st, 2012. This will be the end of the world. Of course, a lot of people have predicted the end of the world over the years. I remember an engineer that claimed he found it in the Bible. He was an engineer. Hey, engineers know everything, don't they? He had figured it out mathematically according to the Bible. The world will end in October of 1988, said the engineer Edgar Wissanant. He wrote a little booklet, sold millions of copies. People were, they'd come up to me on the street, Tex, is it true? Is the world going to end? And I sort of laughed. Now, I knew it wasn't going to end that day that Edgar Wissanant said it was in 1988. Hey, by the way, his little booklet was entitled 88 Reasons Why the World Will End in 1988. I could have written a book saying 1,000 reasons why it won't, but I had one good reason. Because the Bible says no man knows the day nor the hour when the Lord will return. Only our Father who is in heaven. Who said that? Jesus. Now you're going to believe Mr. Wissanant, you're going to believe Jesus. I had one great reason why I didn't believe Mr. Wissanant. I don't care if he was another Einstein, the greatest engineer in the world. He forgot to read that one verse by Jesus. Sort of undid him, didn't it? You know, since then, no one's heard from the guy again. He just disappeared. Harold Camping, a family Christian radio out in California, I think he's picked 3 dates. None of them came true. Some people told me it was going to happen. 9/11 was the beginning of the end, and within a year, it'd all be over. Some pointed to Nostradamus. They had the year, the date, all figured out. They said Nostradamus said it. Well, excuse me, Mr. Nostradamus, but I know somebody greater than you named Jesus Christ. And he said nobody's going to know the day nor the hour, so shut up. So is the world going to end December 21, 2012? George Lucas, Jerry, what was the great movies that he did? Star Wars, was it? Yeah, he said he believes it. He's preparing. December 21, 2012, end of the world. I don't know what he's doing to prepare. Some say they want to rent a spaceship and go up and be, you know, in outer space. And if the earth is destroyed, well, then they can go and try to go somewhere else. Otherwise, they'll land and come back down to earth. Well, it's sort of humorous. Somebody told me they're going to make sure they're traveling intercontinental airlines that whole day, all that 24 hours. So if the world ends, you know, they'll be up in the atmosphere. It's going to cost them a lot of money, a lot of wasted time, a lot of jet lag. Because I can tell you right now, it's not going to end December 21st. Okay, I've said it. I have prophesied. That's from God. Because the Bible says so. And you can count on it. When we come back, we're going to talk a lot more about some of the things we've revealed and predicted here at Power of Prophecy that came true. And we're going to have a lot more fun. Stay with us. This is Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Hello again, friends. Tex Mars. You know, my new video, Die America Die, has a very dramatic title. And it's a title I didn't want to give the video. The subtitle is very descriptive. It's The Illuminati Plan to Murder America, Confiscate Its Wealth, and Make Red China Leader of the New World Order. You know, when you're a patriotic American like you and I are, friends, you don't want to think about America dying. I mean, this country has been, I believe, I know I'm prejudiced, I'm biased, I don't care. It has been the greatest country in the world. But maybe not so anymore, but it has the potential if it could once again be blessed by God. But the leaders of our country are in a conspiracy and plot to destroy it from within. Our enemies are not outside. Our enemies are not in the Islamic world or in Russia, not even really in Red China. They're from within. George Soros, the Hungarian Jew billionaire who's attempting to influence American policies, says that China will be the leader of the New World Order. I quote him. You'll see him saying these things in this video, Die America Die. China will be the leader of the New World Order. And Soros goes on to say, and American citizens better not resist. You're just to sit back and take it. I name and I show you the people. And you'll be surprised at the names of the people that are involved in this incredible plot to destroy our country. Yes, these are revelations. Talk about amazing predictions and revelations. They're in this video, Die, America, Die. One lady called the ministry just today, and she said, I'd love to have this video, but it's so frightening. I wanted to first call and make sure it's really true. I don't want to buy the video unless it's really true. Well, yes, it is true. But isn't it a shame that it is so? Die, America, Die, a plot by some of the top leaders in America to murder America and confiscate your wealth. And China's involved in this. Israel is involved in this. The Rothschilds are involved. And yes, Barack Obama, but even the leaders of the Republican Party are complicit in this conspiracy to murder America. If they have their way, America will die. It's as simple as that. And I don't like to say that. I don't enjoy exposing this. But I'll tell you one thing, I'm not going to sit back and just take it. When they say Christianity will be swept away, I'm not going to just do nothing. You wouldn't respect me if I did, would you? I haven't been called to be a leader of truth just to sit back and watch my own country go into a cesspool. And I know you feel the same way. So many of you, you're sick and tired. You're angry. You're frustrated. But you need documentation. You need evidence. And I would love you to get a copy of this video, order this video, and then invite some friends over to watch it. You see, the thing about this is it's so powerful is I've documented it. I haven't even counted them. Dozens, scores, probably hundreds of references. You'll see the actual magazine pages, pictures, photographs. You'll see secret studies. Even the very first Fed audit, you'll see information. Since 1913, there's only been one audit of the Fed Reserve. I tell you about it in this video. I give you the information. That's never been revealed. Even the press wouldn't reveal what was found out in this audit, but I did in this video. I believe it's a fulfillment of prophecy. Revelation 18, verse 11 through 19 says, and the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. For in one hour is she made desolate. Friends, I believe it's taken 100 years a plotting and conspiracy to bring America to the stage where in 1 hour it'll be destroyed. It's going to happen quick. A lot of people say, how much time do we have left? I don't know. But I believe once the fuel is thrown on the fire, that match is going to come and it's going to go very, very quick. And that's why I want you to know how to prepare for it. And, you know, I don't know if you call it a problem or what, is that we're so far ahead of everybody else here at Power of Prophecy. And when something doesn't happen like overnight that we predict, people say, oh, well, it's not going to happen. But it will. And I've got some evidence of that in just a minute, talking about financial things that are we're in the process of going on right now. The world is suffering an economic collapse. And it's sort of slow motion because it's been taking effect for a long time. You know, I wrote my book in the mid-90s, I think it was. Well, I can't even remember the date exactly, but I know it was the 90s, Millennium Peace Promises in the Day They Take Our Money Away. And a lot of the things I predicted in there are just occurring right now. But boy, once it's gathered steam, you know, it's like a horse and a thoroughbred horse in a race. Starts out from the gate lagging a little behind, but slowly it picks up steam, picks up speed. It ends in the number one position. Well, this is going to end in tragedy very, very quickly. And if you're not prepared, if you don't look ahead and see these things, it'll take you unawares. And that shouldn't happen to a Christian. And as I've told you so many times before, I do not receive a royalty on this video or any of my videos. All the money goes in the ministry. And I get paid nothing personally. Until the end of the year, we see if we have any money to pay me. And this year we didn't have very much, but that's okay. You know, we're still eating, have a shelter. That's okay. We're doing just fine. We're going to make it fine. And the ministry is going to keep right on going. But we need your help. If you can give us a love gift, a donation, tithes to this Christian ministry, we're doing God's work. We're doing the work of the Constitution in America. Please help us. But if not, I hope you'll at least order this video and let your friends know about it. And maybe buy an extra copy for a friend. First, you might want to see it yourself. I challenge you to get this video. Bring some friends over and say, did Tex prove what he said? Did he document the video enough that we can believe this is true? And if so, then folks, is it not incumbent upon you to do something? I'm challenging you to do something. And this video will give you the evidence you need to lead the charge. The DVD, Die America Die, total of $30. That's postpaid. Everything's done. And we got copies right here in our warehouse. We'll send it right out to you. Here's how to get your video, your copy. It's $25. It's 80 minutes in length. Please order it by phoning us toll free here during the week, Monday through Friday, 1-800-234-9673. Or send $30 to Power of Prophecy or simply to Tex Mars, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. And by the way, you can go on powerofprophecy.com, our website, powerofprophecy.com, and you can even see a trailer. You can click on and see a preview of this video, Die America Die. Please help us to sell this video. Let's save America, because you and I together, I know we have the same heart. We want America to live, and we want Americans to live prosperously and in truth. Now let's return to my program. You're listening to Power of Prophecy, heard around the world on powerofprophecy.com, audio streaming, and of course we're on WINB, shortwave radio, and WWCR, shortwave radio, and American Voice Network, and maybe a few other places. Who knows? We're just glad for anybody to pick it up off the internet and play it on their website or whatever, and we're not going to get mad at you for doing that, okay? Same thing goes in my newsletters. If you have a newsletter and you say, I love this newsletter, or it's something I need to get to others, go down to a printer and make a bunch of copies of it and pass out. You're never going to hear anything about from us about saying, don't do that, don't, you know, that we have a copyright on that. Now, I don't want you to take a whole collection of my newsletters and go out and sell them for a commercial profit, but if you want to make 50 copies of an article from my newsletter or some article that I write on my webpage, go ahead and make the copies and send them out to people. Okay? We don't worry about those things. We want the word to get out. We don't want to limit you so that we can make money. We want to free you up. And by the way, some of you might be able to take Die America Die and put it on your local cable access station. We encourage that. And we give you the automatic right to do that non-commercially to put it on your local cable access. Okay? You're welcome to do that. And let other people in your area know about it. Okay, well, I've got an article sent to me from the American Atheist Foundation. They love Tex Mars, as you can imagine. And January 11th, 2012. The title of it is, Some Church Preachers Are Really Closet Atheists. The writer, a man named Ernest Pierce, P-E-R-C-E, or maybe that's Pierce, the fifth. Ernest Pierce, the fifth, says he's an atheist. He's part of the American Atheist Group, and he's a big believer in the late Madeline Murray O'Hare, who was founder of American Atheist Foundation. He explains in here that he used to be a charismatic evangelist stationed out of Tennessee and then San Antonio, Texas, and he would go around all these big crusades and into charismatic churches. He was invited, and boy, he was one of those guys sort of like, well, you know the kind I mean, guys that go berserk. He was one of the preachers. He said, I became so bold that I would throw people out of wheelchairs. I would lay people down who had back injuries flat on their stomachs, and I would run on their backs. I believe this was the demonstration of the Holy Ghost and power. He said, I would scream. I would holler. He was just a real enthusiastic, vibrant. Well, he was one of the regular charismatic guys. You know, the people, the kind of people that are into holy laughing and running up and down the aisles and dancing and doing flip-flops on the floor and somersaults and, you know, and screaming in other tongues and holding up their hands and all of that. Now, I don't want to make fun of people who legitimately are involved in, you know, serving God. But you know, and this man knew, that what he was a fake. He was a closet atheist. Finally, he decided just to come clean. Now he's written this article. He says, just like me, there are many charismatic preachers out there that are really closet atheists. And people think they're getting healed. And I guess he's talking about the Benny Hinn's and the Kenneth Copelands and the, you know, the, I don't know, all these, the Paul Crouches and all those kind of folks. He says, I was doing all those things. But at the same time, evidently, he was also deep into pornography. So he'd watch his pornography and all of his triple X rated stuff. And I don't know what all he was doing on the side, sexually and otherwise. Then he'd go preach, claim he was full of the Holy Ghost, healing people and pulling them out of their wheelchairs and taking their prescription medicine and throwing it away and say, you've been healed. Praise God. Seemed like he was a real holy man, a real holy roller, but he was a fake. Now he admits it. He says there are many other people out there just like me, and they ought to come clean. Now, you know, today we're talking about predictions and revelations of Tex Mars. Did I not reveal these things to you? Remember my video, The Blind and the Dead? I exposed a lot of these kind of fake closet atheists. I exposed these people. I've done so many radio programs about pastors and evangelists gone berserk. One of them, I think it was Call in the Clowns, the circuses in town. You know, the Todd Bentleys, the, as I said, the Kenneth Copelands and the Kenneth Hagins and all these others out there. Now this guy admits it. That's what I was. I was a fake. But I was raking in the dough, he said. I'd watch my porno movies. Then I'd go out to the church and pretend to be a big evangelist healer. I was talking to Hal Lindsey some years ago. Unfortunately, he got involved with all these people and was invited on TBN, and I think he sort of sold out. But he was telling me how many big name evangelists and pastors he knew that were into everything from pornography to wife swapping. He said they wanted me to do it with them, Tex. That's what Hal Lindsey told me. You know, the writer of the late great Planet Earth. He said I wasn't very popular because I didn't want to do that. I suppose he was telling me the truth. That's certainly what I've discovered. You know, it came out that a lot of these people are homosexuals. Again, I expose all of this in my videos. Like Tower of Infamy. I was one of the first to expose the horror of what Billy Graham was really doing secretly. People didn't want to believe it, and man, did they ever criticize me. But what I said was the truth, and now so many other people recognize it for what it was. By the way, got a letter here from somebody. I don't know how I got this in my file. It was dated back in 2007, I think. Anyway, this person was writing me, telling me that I was a false prophet. He said, Dear Tex, I want to quote you from your own book, Millennium, Peace Promises in the Day They Take Our Money Away. Here's what you say on page 11 of your book. And then he quotes me. And here's what I said. But the lords of money cannot get what they want without first taking from you and me. Therefore, a global economic holocaust is on the way. It is virtually assured that a planned economic cataclysm will take place. Expect emotional outburst, unbridled panic, and an atmosphere of fear to mushroom as economic chaos looms and America is locked tightly in a financial, political, and military vice. This person wrote to me back in 2007 and he said, my concern with what you wrote is it has not come true. He says, Tex, what does the Bible say about false prophets when what they say does not materialize as indicated? It is true, this gentleman writes. You did not give a date on this, but I have waited patiently for several years now, and this did not happen. Well, excuse me, my good friend. Maybe you should have waited just a few more months, because that very same year we had a total economic collapse over the whole world, so that the head of the Bank of England said this is the greatest financial collapse in the history of the world. Many people say what we're involved in right now. is the greatest economic catastrophe since the Great Depression. Look at what is happening. Our national debt. People are so worried. Banks, hundreds of banks have gone bankrupt. What if we had the Tea Party movement trying to convince the government to quit their incredible spending? The dollar has gone down. Just check from the day that I wrote my book, Millennium, it probably is only one third of the value that it was, if that. And it's still sliding and sliding. Friend, there was a planned economic collapse and it's ongoing. The stock market was 13,000 on the Dow and it halved. Within 6 months, it was only 6,500. And even now, the Fed Reserve has pumped out, has printed fake money, you might say, in the trillions of dollars and given them to European and American banks to try to keep them flush. The real estate market has yet to come back, and every month they're breaking records on foreclosures. And there are people living in California whose prices are only about 50% of what they used to be. The same thing goes for people living in Florida, Nevada, Arizona. People write to me and say, Tex, I bought my house for $200,000. It's only worth $90,000 now. What am I going to do? It's underwater. As I said, the lords of money cannot get what they want without first taking it from you and me. Therefore, a global economic holocaust is on the way. Friends, everybody's warning you about this. Are they not? Every time you turn on the TV, they're talking about the federal deficit. They're talking. Ron Paul is trying to tell everybody, we have a financial situation here. Everything is ready to go under. And then what did I talk about here? That America is locked, will be locked tightly. Economic chaos will loom and America will be locked tightly in a financial, political, and military vice. Isn't that what we're locked into? And now we're threatening Iran. They'll bring the price of oil if we bomb Iran. They'll close the Strait of Hormuz and the price of oil will go up to $200 a barrel and the whole world's economy will go in the toilet. And you say that I should not have predicted that? I did predict it. And it came true. And for 3.5 years now, we've been in an economic debacle and problem. And every economic expert was frightened to death. George Bush said I had to go against the Constitution because otherwise the whole world would have ended. Barack Obama's taking credit. He said, if it weren't for me, we'd have had the greatest recession ever in history. But a lot of people are saying, well, we're going to have it. We're still in financial hock. The dollar is still going down, down, down. Europe is now in a double dip recession and America may fall. They're talking about contagion. I warned everybody about globalization. Globalization is a real problem. You know, right now, the nation of Greece, the sovereign debt, is such that they say that if Greece, the little country of Greece that has like 14 million people, if it falls, all 7 billion people in the world will suffer. How did that happen? How can a financial problem in a small country called Greece or Italy or Portugal or Ireland occur and the whole world suffer a contagion and like dominoes, one after another country will fall? That's what they're telling us. Contagion. Economic epidemic. The mortgage breakdown. It occurred just as I predicted. I think it's funny the guy wrote this letter to us just before, you know, it happened back in 2007 or 8. Whoa, you know, that didn't happen yet. Wait around. Here's one. In fact, this is from this week, Washington Post, January the 15th. The headline is the Iran war hype is driving up world fuel prices. Now, the oil analysts are saying that oil should be about $75 a barrel, but it's $100 a barrel because of the tensions in the Middle East, the threat of war in Iran between Israel, the United States, and Iran. And we brought our aircraft carriers and our ships in the Persian Gulf there, and we're threatening Iran with war. We say they intend to build an atomic bomb. We admit, Leon Panetta, our own Secretary of Defense, says, yes, I know they are not building it, but they might. So what are we going to do? We're going to go to war with a country because they might do something? I've never seen that before. What is that, preemptive war? Is that what our Constitution says? If we think a country might do something wrong, we have the right to go and bomb and kill their people, attack and conquer them? Is that what the Constitution says? Goodness. Friends, you and me, most of us lived through the Cold War. And from about 1945 to 1985, for 40 years, we lived under the threat of atomic bomb attack from Russia, they said. They've got thousands of missiles aimed at us. They've got submarines with missiles on them on the coast off the our coast in the Atlantic and the Pacific. We're at threat from Russia. Why didn't we go attack Russia? If they were, they had the bomb. They had missiles that could hit America. Why didn't we have a preemptive strike and just destroy all of them? We had at the time, they said we had 50,000 nuclear bombs. Why didn't we destroy Russia entirely? It had over 200 million people. Let's just go kill them all. Make sure they can't come get us. Does the Constitution allow that? Well, no. Friends, I've always been, my dad had a little policy when I was just a boy. He said, son, don't be a bully. Don't go looking for trouble. Now, if some other boys come up to you and they start making trouble for you, you just be cool. Don't worry about a thing. They start calling you names. Don't worry about it. Names won't hurt you. Might hurt your feelings, might embarrass you, but don't do a thing. If they come threatening you, don't do anything. Just don't say anything. But if they ever hit you first, you have my permission to let them have it. My dad was pretty tough on that. He said, you can get a brick, you can get a piece of wood, whatever you have to do, lay into them if they hit you first. But if they don't, if you hit them first, when you get home, you're going to get it from me. Sort of my dad's, that was his preemptive policy. It didn't exist. Don't be a bully. But if somebody hits you first, don't be a coward. Get them back. Make sure they won't ever do that again. Don't come crying home, oh, he hit me. Dad says, or I'll hit you. Of course, he didn't hit me with his fist ever or his hand, but he did have a belt. And I got it a few times, deservedly so. Listen, friends, one of my predictions is that we will continue these worthless wars around the world. These wars that are not caused when somebody attacks us, but we make up some pretext. Saddam has weapons of mass destruction, and there could be mushroom clouds across America. Let's go and take him out and kill a bunch of people. Baloney. Osama bin Laden is hiding somewhere in Afghanistan. Let's go into Afghanistan and kill a bunch of people and find him. Baloney. But I did warn you. Now, about this driving up world prices. Do you remember I told you that the oil speculators, and I mean particularly the bankers, I named two banks. It was Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley. In my research, I discovered that they control 80 to 90% of the oil futures market. They were the speculators. These two great banks, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, owned by Jewish billionaires, of course, and the Rothschilds having the major interest in Goldman Sachs. They were driving up the world's fuel prices. And I actually did an audio tape saying that the world is awash with petroleum. It's called Planet Petroleum. You know what? Did you know that America, they are now admitting it? In fact, in his State of the Union address this very week, President Obama said we're importing less and less oil because we're drilling and finding more oil. I told you about that. The Bakken Formation. All over America, they're discovering oil and gas. We're awash. We've got more gasoline and oil than we'll ever use. They're even cutting back on it. That was one of the things I predicted. That we could start drilling for what we have here in America, and eventually, and I think it's very soon, we won't need to import any oil and gas from foreign lands. Then the price should come down if it were not for these huge banks. Well, there's so much more we could talk about, of course. The fact that I said, no, the world will not end at Y2K. I told you Obama would be the first Jewish, that is, affiliated president of the United States. I said that nanotechnology will transform the world. By the way, my book, Megaforces, I was the very first, and is also called titled Rush to Armageddon in its first version. I said biochips will be implanted in human beings, and that did occur. In my book, Project Lucid, I stated that biometrics will be used to create a national ID card in a Big Brother police state. We're coming close to that. I predicted that concentration camps and American gulags would be built. They're being built. Now, some of these areas, for example, I remember that I did a research report and I put out a CD and audio tape and a radio program about nanotechnology. And it's called The Scourge of the Nanorobots, and it's available for you to order, by the way. A lot of people were shocked about that. They'd never heard of nanorobots. And I stated that they could be inserted into the body, injected or otherwise implanted in the body, and then a remote computer or device could be used to control them. For example, they could open up these nanorobots and at a given time inject some poison into your system, even months later after it was injected. And this could be done with a remote controlled computer program. Well, a lot of people said that would be crazy. That would be impossible to do. I stated there could even be an explosive device. So it could be directed to go to your heart, this nano robot, into your heart, and then be to blow up or to cut apart something. Well, guess what? The Forest News Agency, November 17th, put out a report. It says, remote control nanocomposite invented for drug delivery inside body. Researchers have been able to develop delivery techniques with on-off switches that would allow controlled release of drugs or other objects into the body by combining magnetism with nanotechnology, and it is done with computers. All right, bringing to pass exactly what I described. Now, another thing, when I talked about the stock market a while ago, and I talked about it falling from 13,000 to 6,500, I then, on radio, predicted that it would go back up again. And you know what? It did. It's nearing 13,000 again. So it fell to 6,500, is now back up to 13,000 again. But I believe there will be another fall. One of the things I told people about, and it seemed crazy at the time, in the election between Senator John Kerry and George W. Bush for president, I stated that both of the men were Skull and Bones members. And you know, even the press began some months later to state that very fact. One of the things many years ago that I told you about, and by the way, it was in my book, Conspiracy World, and in a newsletter, I stated that in 1948, President Harry Truman had been bribed by Jewish agents and given $2 million in a suitcase on his campaign train to formally recognize the state of Israel. Israel was formally recognized by the United States after a $2 million bribe. That has now proven true. The FBI released a document in 2011 in which they explained that that actually did occur. Name the Jewish agent that gave him the money even from the FBI files. And I put that in my book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. Those are some of the things. By the way, one of the important things that I told you about was that new DNA research proves that the Jews in Israel today are not genetically related to the ancient Israelites. Well, after I reported that, a very important new book called The Invention of the Jews by Dr. Shlomo Sands came out that stated that fact, gave research data for it, and a very, very important and highly acclaimed medical journal called Immunology, where the top experts in the blood field in medicine did DNA research. And they compared the DNA of Palestinians and people who say they are Jews living in Israel. They compared it and they found out there is more ancient Israelite blood flowing in the veins of the Palestinians than there is in the veins of those who said we are Jews. Get that? The Palestinians are the true ancient Israelites, and the Jews, as we've said right here on this program, are of Turkic, Mongolic, European stock known as the Khazars. The Palestinians are the true Israelite heirs. What a shock that will be to evangelical Christians. Finally, I predicted that the elite would attempt to undo American sovereignty and to install a North American Union. That is still to come, but it's on the skillet, and they're turning the fire up on it. Folks, this is Tex Mars. You've been listening to a special edition. We've been talking about some amazing predictions and revelations that we've done here at Power of Prophecy Ministries. And as I've told you before, keep tuning in. We've got a lot more revelations and predictions and a few prophecies ahead in the coming weeks and months. But always remember, even though you heard it first, right here on Power of Prophecy with Tex Mars, it's very important we give God all the credit. Well, until next time, my friends, please tune in each week and discover the power of prophecy.